am I so wrong for staying up late, going out with my friends, for drinking too much and saying I won't, but then do it again? When you take my hand, I realize I can be who I am. 'Cause I'll be alright as long as I'm leaving with you. I came with the hard times, but you brought the good times. You made my life brighter, brighter. I found my way. You're only gonna love me.
Welcome back to the Neutral Zone, another episode. It is Monday, March 25th, 2019. As always, I am your host, Tyler Gallo.
And I am your other host, Jonathan Hanna.
Well, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about in baseball. It is extension season. We'll get into that in a little bit. But first, a bit of shocking news, but not really at the same time. Rob Gronkowski retires from the NFL, and he's only 30 years old.
I appreciate Gronk for the physical specimen he was,
and for how funny he was. But like,
but he was, he had a hit on Trey White. Trey White intercepted a ball from him, went down. Gronk pile drove him with his elbow. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, the man was a character, a big character. He was on my fantasy team more like before a few years ago. He was on my fantasy team a couple times. He was the guy that I would go to when I would have a struggling, when I would be struggling in fantasy, and he'd always pick it up. So, I mean, I'm not gonna say I'm gonna miss him because he's on the Patriots, but he will be missed by a lot of people. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
I mean, good, incredible player. Probably one of the best tight ends in recent memory. And and CTE probably, or concussions are what did him in. So that's basically why he retired. Only 30 years old. And that's basically a veteran in the NFL mm-hmm. nowadays.
Unless
you're Tom Brady. Well, Tom Brady is just insane. So, all right. We've got some baseball news to talk about. It is extension season. A lot of players have got extensions, but not Jacob DeGrom. Like, I'm pretty sure all other teams got extensions except for the Mets to Jacob DeGrom, who deserves one after the incredible season he had last year. Yeah, he's probably going to regress this year, but he's been one of the best pitchers for them. So I don't understand it. It better happen soon. So some signings, Gio Gonzalez to the Yankees, a minor league deal. He'll get $3 million for a year if he makes the majors, which he probably will, with the state of the rotation that the Yankees have. It's sort of stretched thin right now, so good signing for them. And a way to get it in the minor league deal. The Mets should have gotten him to shore up their rotation a little bit, but they did not. All right, and this is the largest contract for a player who has not played in a major league game yet, ever. And that is top prospect for the White Sox, Eloy Jimenez, outfielder. He earned 6 years, $43 million per year.
Wow.
Yeah. Actually, I don't know if that's $43 million. I think that's overall, $43 million overall. But that's a lot of money for a guy that hasn't even played in the majors yet. And, I mean, if you pull up Eloy Jimenez is a can't-miss prospect if you pull up his stats. I mean, but this could be a problem. Like last year, I know the Phillies signed Scott Kingery to a 7-year deal before he even played in the major leagues, and he struggled mightily last year. So Eloy Jimenez, I don't know if he's going to start the league in the minors or the majors. He better start in the majors because he's probably one of the best prospects right now in the league. 311 career batting average in the minors, and he's only been playing since 2014 in the minors. So,
wow.
Yeah. He's 22, and he's got a bright future. He's an outfielder. He was ranked the number 3 prospect in MLB pre-2019. So I think he could deserve it if he works hard and keeps going, doing what he does, he will. That would be a good choice by the White Sox to get that. All right, and then last night, Daniel Hudson, who was released by the Angels, he's a reliever. He's signed by Toronto, a major league deal, which we have not seen a lot of this offseason.
No, we haven't.
A lot of minor league deals for guys that should deserve major league deals. 1 year, $1.5 million. Daniel Hudson, a guy that used to be a starter for Arizona, really refound his success as a reliever. Last season pitched in 40 games to a 4.11 ERA with the Dodgers. He used to be a starting pitcher before a couple of Tommy John surgeries, and he was a good starter. In 2010, he actually pitched to a 1.69 ERA in only 11 games. So
that's pretty nice.
That is nice. That's 2010. He pitched to an overall 2.45 ERA because he started the season with 3 games started for the White Sox and a 6 ERA, and then he went to the Arizona Diamondbacks team was better. All right, we've got a ton of extensions to talk about, and I want to put this one right away. I want to get your thoughts on this one, and I'll put out my thoughts on this one. Mike Trout inking a record-breaking extension with the Angels. 12 years, $430 million overall.
Haha, Phillies fans.
Yes, I am so happy about that. Phillies fans are always like, we're going to get him next year. He's got Eagles season tickets, and he's going to sign with them. He's going to sign with the Phillies, and they're going to win the World Series. Well, he's still with the Angels. And yeah, he may not win a ring with the Angels, but he has stability. Even the best player in the league was quoted on saying, I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to get a contract next year. So that just shows you the state of the offseason that is the MLB right now. What are your thoughts on this contract?
I mean, it's definitely deserved. I mean,
probably the best player in the league, no doubt. And he's going to be he's a surefire Hall of Famer.
The only problem is he's on the Angels, and
they need to build a team around
they
him.
They do, but I don't think they're going to.
Yeah, that's just the problem with the Angels. I mean, I don't know how many good prospects they have. They don't really have any.
I mean, the team right now is basically Trout and Ohtani.
Yeah, and Ohtani even his pitching is in limbo because he can't pitch because he got Tommy John surgery. He can bat. I think it'll be later in the season when he gets to bat. But, yeah, Mike Trout, I mean, he's just been far and away the best player in the last – probably the last decade, last 10 years. If you think of the best player, Mike Trout. I mean, he came up in 2011. That's the only season that he hit – by the way, that's the only season he hit below 280. And it was only in 40 games. I mean, this guy has finished in top four MVP voting in all of his years. In 7 of his 8 career years, he's finished top four in MVP voting. He's been an all-star in all those years as well. So – guy that deserves it so much.
And then you say that, and then the next signing is, I think, just as good, if not even better.
Yeah.
Alex Bregman, or as MLB 9 Innings calls him, Alex Bergman.
Yeah. MLB 9 Innings is something wrong with their pronunciations. But
6 years of $100 million.
He's a guy that really deserves it. I mean, the last few years he's really come out, and we knew he was going to be a good prospect when he came up in 16. He struggled when he came up in 16, but last season he had a career year. He was an all-star. I think he won All-Star MVP. He hit 51 doubles last year. I didn't even know that. That was tied for the most in the league. Or he led all major leagues in doubles. He hit 31 home runs and 103 RBIs, 286 on a very potent Houston Astros team. Astros have been giving out some extensions. He has signed through 2024, a guy that really deserves it. Won the World Series in 17. Yeah, this guy is going to be – he is a stud already. All right, the next one, a guy that you may not know about, Tampa Bay giving out one of their two extensions, Brandon Lowe signs a 6-year, $24 million extension. We saw him when we went to the Indians game.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't hitting too well in the majors then. Last season, only at .233 with 6 home runs, 25 RBIs in 43 games, but he is tearing the heck out of the ball in spring training despite striking out 18 times in 49 at-bats and only walking 3 times. .388 batting average, and he's hit 3 home runs and 17 RBIs. So this is a guy that's got a bright future if he can cut down on the strikeouts a little bit. All right, the next one, a guy that we know, Ryan Pressly, a good reliever in the league, by the way. 2 years, $17.5 million extension with the Astros. Ryan Pressly really came into his own last year. Last season, 2.54 ERA over 2 teams. When he joined the Astros, he pitched to a .77 ERA.
Wow.
In 26 games, he only gave up 2 earned runs. That's a steal. That is a big steal. And in the playoffs last year, he only gave up 1 run. By the way, when he joined the Astros, he only gave up 1 home run out of his 2 runs. So he walked 3 guys, struck out 32. That is a good, good extension. That's a good idea. Pressly seemingly came out of nowhere last season to really dominate. When he joined the Astros. That was a good trade for the Twins and the Astros there. All right, the next extension, another Tampa Bay one. Guy that deserved it. We don't know if he's going to regress. Blake Snell, the American League Cy Young in 2018, pitched to a 1.89 ERA. Only one better was Mr. Jacob DeGrom. He was the best in the American League last year. He won 21 games. He went 21-5, and he struck out 221 batters. This is a guy that has the nastiest curve I've ever seen. Probably one of the nastiest curves I've ever seen.
Again, the only problem is he's in Tampa.
Tampa went 90-72 last year. You seem to forget that they were basically overshadowed by the Red Sox and the Yankees last year. They went 90-72. They could have gotten a wild card, but I think it was the A's that won 92 games, and it was the Yankees that won 100 and got the wild card. So if only they weren't in the AL East. Mm-hmm. That was they would have been a wild card in the AL Central. If they were in the AL Central, they might have won the division. If they were in the AL West, they probably would not have won the division. But actually, they might. No, because the Astros. All right, 5 years, $50 million with Tampa. That's a good sign. All right, Goldie signs a 5-year, $110 million extension with the St. Louis Cardinals. Goldschmidt from the great state of Delaware, where I call home. He's from Wilmington, Delaware. This guy is just I can't say enough about how good he is. He's been probably one of the best first basemen in the league over the past 5-6 years. I mean, before when he came up in 2011 with the Arizona Diamondbacks, wasn't too heralded, but then he came up and just dominated. He's a good guy. He's a great player. His best season was 2013, obviously. That 36 home run, 125 RBI season, but in 2017, he basically had the same stats, but with five less RBIs. Joining the St. Louis Cardinals, a team that needed first baseman stability. They had Matt Carpenter switching in and out of there. Hit 280 in spring training. Oh, speaking of spring training, real baseball games coming up this week. The Mets are in their Grapefruit League finale against the Baltimore Orioles and have their actual lineup in. So that means that the baseball season is just around the corner. Paul Goldschmidt, very good idea for the Cardinals to extend him. Even though he hasn't played for them yet, it's going to be a good idea. All right, the next one. Five, $150 million with Boston, Chris Sale. Now that is a signing I like. Chris Sale is a guy that, actually, you remember when he pumped up the Red Sox during the World Series last year, mm-hmm. when he screamed at his team to pick it up, and they did, and they won the World Series. I mean, I can't say enough about Chris Sale. Dude, his 2017 year was unreal. 2.9 ERA and a 308 strikeout season. That's unrealistic. That's video game numbers. And Sale last year. Went 12-4 with a 2.11 ERA in 27 games. He had some injury trouble down the stretch. And in the playoffs, he struggled a bit in the playoffs last year, I'll say that. But he did win the World Series. He closed out the World Series. Had that famous last strikeout of Manny Machado. So that we've got one more extension to talk about. Justin Verlander, a small extension, 2 years, $66 million with Houston, but a guy that's been really good for Houston. Houston just giving out money. Verlander has been the best pitcher since he's came up, I think, in my opinion. Kershaw aside, he's just been unreal.
Mm-hmm.
Career 3.39 ERA. Yeah, he had a shaky earlier career, but in the last few years, holy cow, he's just been insane. Like, when he joined the Astros, he had a 1.06 ERA in 5 games started. And then last year at 2.52. Since joining the Astros, he has a 2.32 ERA. So, and he won the World Series. Strikeouts per 9, 12.2, by the way. So, a good extension for Houston. And that's all we got for the extension right now. And another sad retirement out of the MLB. Ichiro has announced his retirement after, what is it?
Many, many years.
17 incredible years, I want to say. Ichiro came up in 2001, much hyped debut. The most hits. He had the most hits in his season. 372 batting average in 2004, by the way. 262, that was the year he hit 262 hits. Can't say enough about Ichiro once again. One of the greats in the game. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer for sure. And what a send-off, by the way. In his mm-hmm. homeland of Japan. I mean, you can't do it any other way.
And his career went full circle.
Yeah.
He started against the A's, finished against the A's.
As a Mariner.
Yes.
Last season, he only played in 15 games for the Mariners, but he voluntarily stepped away to be, I guess it was a special assistant. And then he came back this year for a few games, the opening series in Japan. Everyone was like, oh, he's taking away bats from a young guy. And I'm like, well, one, it's Ichiro. You're not going to have another Ichiro in the league. And if you look at his career spray chart, by the way, only one career home run went to the opposite field. One. Out of his, 117 home runs, one of them went opposite field. He's also the only guy to hit an inside-the-park home run in the All-Star game. And I think it was, I saw on Twitter, only 7 or 8 career at-bats where his career batting average was below 310. That's unreal. These are some stats you'll never see again. And I wish Ichiro I have the highest regard for Ichiro. Like, this is a guy that we'll never see again in the league. There will never be another Ichiro. So I'm sure everybody in the league will miss him. He's a guy that you'll know who he is. If you think of Japanese baseball, you think of Ichiro.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they're synonymous with each other. And then some sad news for Cincinnati. Scooter Gennett's going to miss 8 to 12 weeks with a right groin strain, or as in the MLB or the NHL calls it, lower body injury. That's a huge blow. This is a guy that has turned a corner since joining Cincinnati from Milwaukee. He never was a big power hitter, and then he came to Cincinnati, and all of a sudden he's just this big pop guy. He's hit since joining Cincinnati. He's hit .303 with 50 home runs, and before that he only had 35 career home runs, and hit .279. So Gennett, that's a big blow for Cincinnati, a team that's trying to find out where they are. And then a small signing, Ruben Tejada returns to the Mets. Remember, famously had his leg broken in game 2 of the 2015 NLDS by Chase Utley. He is back on the Mets after toiling in the minors in Baltimore. And then we will not do that today. We will skip over the division winners. That will be for another podcast. We will go to the finally all the opening day starters are picked, and a bunch of them were the ones that I thought should be. So Arizona, Zach Greinke, good pick. His fourth opening day start will be against Los Angeles, his old team. Toronto guy I picked as well against Philly, his sixth opening day start for the Atlanta Braves. I picked Carlos Rodon for Chicago White Sox, and you know what? He got it against Kansas City. That's his first one. I did not pick this one. Luis Castillo, first opening day start for the Reds. This is against Pittsburgh. And pretty much a formality, Corey Kluber, his fifth opening day start for the Cleveland Indians against Minnesota. And he got Kyle Freeland for Colorado, his first against Miami, my pick as well. Jordan Zimmermann for Detroit, his second at Toronto, my pick as well. And then two that I did not pick, Trevor Cahill, his second for Oakland, or for Los Angeles against his old team at Oakland. Hyunjin Ryu, his first versus Arizona. This is the first non-Kershaw opening day start for the Dodgers.
And that's because Kershaw.
Yeah, and he's injured.
Yeah.
So. Since 2010, where Vicente Padilla started. We talked about that last week.
It would have been Kershaw if he didn't get injured, yeah. I bet.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. They announced it in February, and then he got hurt. So this is a surprising one. Eric Lauer for San Diego will start versus San Francisco. Lauer, I did not pick Lauer. I picked Joey Lucchesi, who had a good year last year. Lauer pitched to a 4.34 ERA last year, and in spring training he's pitching to a 0 ERA in 3 games, 2 started. So I guess it's a good pick for San Diego. And then pretty obviously it was Mad Bum for San Francisco. Madison Bumgarner will get his fifth opening day start against San Diego. I picked that one. All right. We've got some NHL news. John, you can finally come in.
Well, first, I'm going to start this out. Do you know what happened 25 years ago today?
What is that?
Wolf Stenson and the Iceland Vikings blew a 5-2 lead in the third period, losing to the USA Ducks 6-5 in the shootout of the Junior Goodwill Games.
Is that
Mighty Ducks?
Mighty Ducks, yeah. Yep. That's
what I was about to say. D2 Mighty Ducks. Terrible. I mean, great movie, but just terrible hockey stuff because one of the dudes got a 2-minute penalty for roping. Last I checked, that ain't a valid penalty.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And on the knuckle puck as well, the Russ, who was played by young Kenan Thompson.
Russ Tyler.
Yeah, took off his mask to take the knuckle puck. You can't do that.
Yeah, well, Jack O'Brien, our good buddy Jack O'Brien, has some choice words for the Mighty Ducks.
Was that on RMU Tonight or Stranded?
That's a good question. It's a good question. It's on one of the two. All right, well, it's ELC season, but we've got some extensions in the NHL as well.
Big Z signs an extension with Boston, 1 year, $3.75 per. I mean, late leader of the Bruins.
He's getting up there in age.
He's what, 43?
Who knows? I mean, Z is a guy that you need on defense if you want to shore it up. His time's running out in the league, but
I mean, he can still be solid because he doesn't have to play top-line minutes anymore in Boston with Krug, McAvoy, what's his name? The dude who has, like, no vowels in his name. Matt Grizzlick.
Grizzlick, yeah. Grizzlick. Grizelchik.
Yeah. And I don't understand this signing at all. Jimmy Howard signs an extension with Detroit.
He's struggled lately. So,
1 year, $4.25.
That's questionable. That's a questionable signing.
I mean,
yeah. And then we've got some ELCs.
Jet Wu, who was drafted 37th in 2018 by Vancouver. Akil Thomas, drafted 51st in 2018 by LA. Chase Pearson, 140th overall and 15 by Detroit. Joseph Ciccone, 133rd overall in 2015 by Dallas. Joe Snively, who was a college player, signed with Washington. Matt Robson, another college player, signed with Minnesota. Brady Keeper, signed with Florida, again, another college player. Josh Melnick, signed with Dallas, another college player. And Rhett Gardner, signed with Dallas again, another college player. All these are low in their ELCs. You're not expecting him to come out and compete right away. I remember Jet Wu was a great pickup for me in NHL 19. But, yeah, just a lot of low-risk, high-reward picks.
Yeah, a lot of ELCs to give out.
Yep.
All right, we've got a Yost bomb coming up. Mr. Luke Yost, welcome into the studio, our weekly segment. So we were talking about a lot of the extensions in the MLB and the opening day starters. Talked about the Trout contract, Bregman extension, all that. What do you got for us today, Luke?
Well, I'm a traditional Pittsburgh fan, so I'm not going to lie to you. Baseball season for me doesn't start till after the Pens win the Stanley Cup, 3 to 4 years. So, yeah, you heard it here first. Pens are going to sweep the first round, go 5 in the second round, and then they'll win in 6 in the finals on away ice because they're at home. That's it.
All right.
All right. There it is, the Yost bomb of the week. Thank you, Luke, for coming in.
I don't believe it.
I don't know. Yeah, that's one that is not probably going to happen. But, yeah, a lot of ELCs give it out. I don't really know any of these guys.
I mean, Jet Wu and Akeel Thomas are pretty much the two big ones that were drafted last year.
These guys in 2015, like, why didn't you give it to them in 2015?
Because they were probably bad in 2015.
Yeah, no ELCs for the Devils.
Or Sabres.
All right, well, we got some scores last night. A couple of games. John, you can
actually
fix the last one.
Yeah, because it was a night game.
Yeah, it was a late game. Usually we stay up for that one, but that one went late.
Like, really?
Really late. All right, first one. Flyers, always love to see them lose. Washington beat them 3-1. Goals by Travis Boyd, Jacob Vrana, and Tom Wilson.
Everybody's favorite player.
And then Voracek for the Flyers. Flyers are done. Flyers aren't make the playoffs. And I'm happy about it because Flyers are like, we fired our coach and now we're going to make the playoffs. And then they didn't. And now they're going to not make the playoffs. And they traded Wade Simmons. And Nolan Patrick is terrible. Like, I don't know what they see in him. I don't know what they see in Nolan Patrick, dude. Everyone's like, oh, he's going to be a stud in like 2 years. Well, we haven't seen anything yet. They're like, wait till next year. Haven't seen anything yet. Voracek, usual suspect for Philadelphia. Travis Boyd, Vrana, and Wilson scoring once again for the Washington Capitals, who continue their dominance of the Metro Division. And then the Islanders shut out the Arizona Coyotes 2-0. Coyotes are falling fast. They lost to the Devils, and now they're losing to the Islanders.
Well, you say they're falling. That implies that they were on top at any point.
Well, they are in the wild card spot in the West. That West is just who knows what's going to happen in the West. Goals by Jordan Eberle and Brock Nelson for the New York Islanders. Nelson's a guy that I've always liked. And then 24 saves in the loss for Darcy Kemper. Darcy Kemper's really turned a corner since joining the Coyotes, by the way. He's been an unreal goalie since joining them. And then that's that game. And then we have East playoff implications in this game. A big win for Carolina. 2-1 in overtime. Goals by Trevor Van Riemsdyk and Andrei Svechnikov. A game winner in OT.
And then the goal for Montreal by Paul Byron.
Was that a former Sabre?
Paul Byron, he sounds like someone that was a former Sabre at one point.
Yeah, because of the killer bees on the Sabres. Killer bees, the killer Ks.
Paul Byron, yes, he was. He was on the Sabres. He was drafted by Buffalo.
Come on, John.
I'm sorry. He played 8 games for Buffalo in 2010. That was the year that they had like 17 different players.
Luke Adam?
No.
All right, well, that's that game. Carolina continues to put up points in lieu of a playoff spot. They're trying to get into the playoffs, and it might happen. Another OT game. Chicago beat Colorado 2-1 in OT. Goals by Artem Anisimov And Duncan Keith, the game winner in OT. And then Alex Kerfoot, former Devils legend for Colorado. And then the late game last night, John, who was it?
Columbus and Vancouver. Back to Vancouver.
Back in Vancouver.
Columbus wins 5-0 thanks to goals by two by Josh Anderson.
Still, though, Columbus really traded everybody and then dipped.
Mm-hmm.
They are not going to make the playoffs, which is crazy. They have no future anymore. But, yeah.
Pierre-Luc Dubois, Oliver Bjorkstrand.
Bjorkstrand.
And Ryan Dezingle. So, Bjorkstrand and Dezingle both scored for... Those have to be two of the weirdest, like...
Oh, I know.
First two-letter combinations
in
the league.
If you were just a casual hockey fan, you would not know how to pronounce those names. And then 28 saves for Thatcher Demko. It's never been the same in Vancouver since they lost Luongo.
Great save, Luongo.
All right, and tonight's games. We've got a bunch of games at 7, a couple at 8, and a couple at later. Florida at Toronto, 7 o'clock. The roommate battle, the third installment of the roommate battle. Buffalo will play in New Jersey at 7 tonight.
What's the record?
It's 1-1.
It is 1-1. All right.
I think. Or it's 0-2 in favor. Oh, wait, no. Because I know the first game was the game where Kincaid just...
So it's at least 1-1. At least 1-something.
Yeah. Sabres, Devils. Yeah, so that's the roommate battle. We usually like to bet on these games. But with the Devils being absolute garbage, I don't know if I want to bet on them anymore. And then we got another game at 7... Pittsburgh and the Rangers. Pittsburgh continuing their playoff push. The Rangers continuing their playoff out of push. When was the last time the Devils played the Sabres, by the way?
I'm looking for it. Let's see.
Another game, Boston at Tampa, 7:30 p.m. That's a big matchup. That might be a potential Eastern Conference final matchup, I believe, or a first round, second round matchup.
Unless you're Luke Yost, who says that.
Tampa's going to lose in the first round, yeah.
Last time they played was February 17th. Jersey had a 4-1 win.
All right. That's actually an intriguing matchup. One of the few intriguing matches we've had lately. Boston at Tampa at 7:30. That's a game you want to watch. If you want to keep up with the playoff push, definitely watch that game. Then we got Vegas at St. Louis. Why is Vegas continuing to be just so good since joining the league? I guess they got that Vegas luck.
Yeah.
At 8.
Nashville at Minnesota at 8. I mean, Nashville pretty much
entrenched into a playoff spot.
Yeah.
Minnesota's on the outside looking in, though.
Yeah. But it's the West, so they could be there.
As in Bruce Boudreau's mind, they will be there.
Yes. Dallas at Winnipeg. Winnipeg at 8 o'clock. Again, Winnipeg pretty much in the same boat as Nashville.
And then Dallas... There's got to be a more – there's not a more, like, less exciting team than Dallas that's in the playoff spot right now. Like, I forgot they were – I'm going to be honest with you. I forgot they were a team a few years ago. And when I was looking – yeah. Like, that's how irrelevant they are.
Speaking of Dallas.
Oh, yeah. What?
You got something in the mail.
Dallas. Oh, yeah. That's right. I did get a card in the mail. It's a card that does not have an image on the site of a player that on the trading card database, I actually make lists. I used to make lists of expansion teams and their goalie history. And the player I got did not have an image on the site, so I couldn't have him on this list until I finally got this card. It is Mr. Jordan Willis, if you want to pull up his stats. Jordan Willis is a 1995-96 edge ice. Jordan Willis. On the Michigan K-Wings, a team that is no longer a team.
I mean, aren't they?
They're Kalamazoo. Yeah. I believe they're Kalamazoo now. Collector's Edge Ice, number 143, Jordan Willis. Jordan Willis did not have a long career in the NHL.
He had one game played, 316 goals against, and a .929 save percentage. And he last played in 2001-02 with the Roanoke Express of the ECHL.
Ah, the Roanoke Express. I remember them.
28 games played, 1 assist, 9 penalty minutes, 335 goals against, .890 save percentage, and an 11-9-5 record.
I mean, I just love to hear goalies getting penalty minutes. I feel like it's kind of funny because, like, it's either delay of game or they actually do something.
And he lost the one game he started in the NHL.
I feel like losses and wins in the NHL are really subjective.
I know, but...
It's a stupid stat because it, like, changes based on... What is the parameters of a win or a loss in the NHL?
I think it's
if you change goalies.
I think it's if you play like either half the game or maybe who lets in the most goals.
I thought it was like whoever lets or is in the net when the game is tied or like lost, I guess.
I don't know.
Because like if they're up 7-4 and then they come back and win, like it's just weird. So yeah, once again, I don't think there's a more irrelevant team that's in a Stanley Cup playoff spot right now than Dallas. They're going to be one and done in the playoffs. All right. Los Angeles at Calgary at 9 o'clock p.m. The Kings, they were eliminated from the playoffs a few days ago, mathematically, joining the New Jersey Devils.
And the Buffalo Sabres.
And the Buffalo Sabres. Well, the Sabres are still not mathematically out.
No, they are. They lost to Montreal and were officially eliminated. So that
sad
means
sad times for our
means
favorite teams.
Probably Buffalo, the Rangers, New Jersey, Detroit, Ottawa, obviously. L.A., and I think, is Anaheim still mathematically in it, or are they?
Who knows? I mean, well, if L.A.'s out, Anaheim's got to be out.
I mean, Anaheim has 10 more points.
They're probably still mathematically in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm going to be real with you there. But, yeah, Calgary is in a playoff spot. Calgary, I'm excited to see them wearing their alternates in the playoffs, by the way. Or their retro jerseys.
Should be their actual jerseys.
Yeah, I agree with that.
This is an odd matchup.
Odd matchup. It's a Eastern-Western Conference matchup.
Detroit at San Jose at 10:30.
San Jose's in a playoff spot, too. I still think they're going to be my Stanley Cup favorite this year. They're a team that nobody's talking about at all, and they're going to come in the playoffs and surprise people.
I have the point totals right here for the playoffs.
Yeah.
You want to hear it? In the Metro, Washington 96, Islanders 95, Pittsburgh 93. In the Atlantic, Tampa with 120, Boston with 101, Toronto with 94, wild card, Carolina 91, Montreal with 88, and close teams in that, you have Columbus with 86 and Philly with 80. So,
yeah, I think Philly's going to get knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
Philly is going to be eliminated in the next week. Philly's not going to make the playoffs. Sorry, Philly sports fans. Once again, getting ahead of yourselves.
Your teams are terrible.
Your teams are terrible, and the Phillies aren't doing anything this year either. Oh, we got Bryce Harper. Who cares?
And then in the West, Winnipeg Central 94, Nashville 90, St. Louis 88. Okay.
All right.
I wasn't expecting St. Louis to
have that many points.
Yeah.
I didn't know they were in a playoff spot.
No. Pacific Calgary 101, San Jose 95, Vegas 90. Wild card, Dallas, 82, Colorado, 81. And then pushing for a spot, Minnesota was 79, Arizona was 79, Chicago was 76.
Chicago's going to get knocked out. Minnesota's also going to get knocked out. But, yeah, the state of the playoffs in the West are just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why all these teams are in a playoff spot when we know they're not going to make it. Like, Chicago's not going to make the playoffs. They have 76 points. Like, geez, they'd be already out if they were in the East.
I know.
Think of the Devils who have, like, 50 points and is going to get Jack Hughes.
Happy birthday.
All right, we've got some happy birthdays to wish. One of them is dead.
Wow. Wait a... wow.
Sorry about that, but it happened.
Yeah, the dead person is... former Toronto Maple Leaf, Bill Barocco.
The curse of Bill Barocco.
Yes, played from 46 to 51, 252 games played, 26 goals, 36 assists.
His last
62 points.
Goal in the NHL, by the way, was the Stanley Cup winner in 51.
Yes, it was. So, interesting little fact
and
there.
And when, so he was the theme of a song by Canadian band Tragically Hip, titled 50 Mission Cap. Barocco disappeared in a plane accident in 1951. They found the wreckage in 64. 60,
yeah, and they won the cup.
And they won
year.
The cup that year. Basically, anytime something's been associated with Bill Barocco, they won the cup.
Yeah, I'm gonna play a bit of it here. I'm just pulling it up.
They actually didn't win the cup when the song was released, but it brought them to more public light.
On fishing.
So, Tragically Hip, I love them. Have you heard of any other songs? Or
I have not, but I feel they sound like the most Canadian band I've ever heard.
Yeah, they do.
They're strictly Canadian. They probably will never be popular in the U.S.
Well, they were popular earlier because they're older band.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
And then there really weren't any big birthdays today. I mean,
I think the best player on this list has got to be Ken Reggett.
Probably.
Reggett is not the most games played on this list, but probably the best player. He played from 83 to 2000, played with Toronto, Philly, Pittsburgh, Calgary, and Detroit. And in 575 games played, he went 225, 248, 53 with a 3.63 goals against average and an 88.5% save percentage.
I mean,
those are basically the – oh, what? It's not 90. Well, I mean, early 90s
goalies were
not
terrible.
Bad, but just the teams scored a lot more.
Yeah, and then the other birthday is Brendan Gaunce for Vancouver, 2015 to 2019.
15 career points in over 100 games. Is he a defenseman?
No. He was a first-round pick.
Well, he has a nice amount of goals and assists, I'll say that.
Yeah. Lance Boma, a good, like, bottom six forward.
We're really scraping the bottom of the barrel for these guys. Oh, my goodness.
With Calgary and Chicago from 2010 to 2018, 76 points in 357 games. And then I've actually never heard of him.
Andre Nikolishin, I have heard of him. He played with Colorado. The only reason I know him is because he was the guy that attacked Todd Bertuzzi after he attacked Steve Moore.
Mm.
He played from 94 to 04 with Hartford, Washington, Chicago, and Colorado. I think he won a cup with Colorado.
I think so.
In 628 career games played, 93 goals, 187 assists for 280 points. Best offensive player on this list, which is not saying much.
No, it's not. I mean, yeah.
All right, and then the final segment.
I didn't put it on here, but Starlin Castro.
Happy birthday to Starlin Castro. Probably the best player on this list now. Castro, Chicago Yankees, and the Marlins. He's the only exciting guy on the Marlins right now, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we've got the card of the day. Next week, though, I know this week we didn't have a lot of talked about, but next week we will finally have MLB scores put up. It's been so long, I've been waiting. And it's going to happen. All right. The card of the day is 2003 Upper Deck MVP, Sean Burroughs, number 172. I have this entire set. It's a little tin that I got at some point. I have this entire set, every card in it. Sean Burroughs wearing the former camo retro jerseys for Padres. I like those.
You know what I don't like about this card?
What?
The way he spells Sean.
Yeah.
That's not the way you spell Sean. S-E-A-N is not Sean. That's seen.
I have a lot of friends that are named... the name Sean that are spelled that way that would beg to differ.
So does that mean if my first name is B-E-A-N, it's pronounced Bon?
No, if your name is John. So if it's J-E-A-N, it's also pronounced John.
No.
Yes, in French it's Jean.
It's Jean.
Come on, John.
My name is Jane.
Well, that's the Irish pronunciation, basically. And he's Irish.
Yeah.
I can see. I don't know. All right, he was drafted ninth overall in 1998 by the Padres. He's always hyped but never really... came to fruition, played 02 to 06 and then 11 to 12 with San Diego, Tampa, Arizona, and Minnesota. In his career, at 278 with 12 home runs and 143 RBIs lifetime. Not a big pop guy. His best year was 03. He hit 286 with 7 home runs and 58 RBI, accounting for more than half of his career home runs in that one season.
That's not saying a lot.
No.
What caused the break between 06 and 11?
He had... he really struggled in 06 with Tampa, and then he was, I guess, released or sent down to the minors, and then he had an injury.
Mm.
He had a collision at second base and a bunch of injuries. He had to stay out of baseball, and then he rediscovered his swing in 11, came back with the Arizona Diamondbacks, and he was good with the Diamondbacks, played in the playoffs, and then didn't do anything with the Twins and then retired. He won the Little League World Series in 92 and 93 for Long Beach, California. The only United States player to throw back-to-back no-hitters in the Little League World Series. There was a Japanese or a Taiwanese player who did that. But that was the year where Taiwan didn't allow a hit in the entire Little League World Series. So
he's a son of a former Major Leaguer and Jeff Burroughs.
Jeff Burroughs had a way better career than his son, I'll say that. He had about 250 more home runs than his son did. And then he hit a walk-off single in the first ever game at Petco Park.
So... is it still Petco Park?
It is still Petco Park, yes.
Which is odd, because...
that's where Bartolo hit his first home run.
I don't think I've ever been inside of a Petco.
I have. There's actually multiple near my house. That's where I usually get some crickets for my gecko, or get fish when I get fish, or look at cats, really cute cats. Or whenever I'm in this one place called, I forget the name.
I mean, we saw Bob at the PetSmart in Robinson.
Yeah. Bob was a crazy cat that we saw.
Very, very.
Yeah, Petco is, I love Petco. I would always go there when I was younger, when I would get fish and stuff, maybe. And then we would look at the cats. Cats are always great to look at Petco.
But yeah, that's.
That's pretty much all we have for today. It wasn't too much of an exciting podcast this week because there wasn't a lot of news to be talked about. No much signings. I mean, Gronk was probably the biggest thing we talked about today, and the Trout contract. But yeah, next week hopefully we have some interesting stuff for you. I know there'll be MLB scores, probably be injuries, probably be playoff spots being gotten in the NHL. So once again, I'm Tyler Gallo,
and I'm John Hitt. Actually, I'd like to make one quick shout out.
We always have this.
Well, one of my good friends from high school, Mackenzie Curry, mm-hmm. plays softball at SUNY Canton.
All right.
And she had 3 RBIs in last night or yesterday to give the SUNY Canton Kangaroos a win. So,
all right. Well, yeah, shout out to her. Hopefully she listens to this podcast.
I think she does.
Well, that's good. We got we're trying to expand our lay of the land here. Outside of just my family and John's family. I know we have some of our friends that listen to it. So, once again, follow us on Twitter at NeutralZoneRMU. We will post the link to this podcast there. Engage with us. We want to talk to you. Follow us on Twitter at TylerGallo37
and JonathanHanna30. I don't even know it much.
Just search John Hanna. He has like 7 accounts. So
I don't. I have 2. If you find Joe Hanford, do not follow it.
That's his old account.
Let's see, my current John Hanna 034.
Yeah, don't interact with us on our Century accounts because we're not allowed to do that. But yeah, so follow us on Twitter, NeutralZoneRMU, TylerGallo37, and John Hanna 034. Once again, I'm Tyler Gallo, and with John Hanna, and we will see you next week, hopefully with more news. We will play you out.
The NFL draft is 1 month from today.
Oh,
and I'm gonna play you out to some. I'm just gonna surprise you.
You told me, love me till the day I die. Surrender my everything, cause you made me believe you're mine. Yeah, you used to call me.